Oh, did you get along? Mrs. Hoover, you need to talk to him. James chapter 1. And we're going to start there, and then we'll work down through. What I've been looking at for the last couple few weeks is dealing with sin. We looked at the question we asked is, how do I overcome sin in my life? Or how do I deal with sin? And the first thing we did for the first couple weeks, we took time to look at the fact of what is sin. And in order to deal with something, we have to get to the root of the issue. We have to get to the root problem, and that is the sin in our lives. And then the second thing we've seen, not only what is sin, but why do I sin? And we just looked at this last week. We sin because we inherited a sinful nature from Adam. And we've seen that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And then we also looked over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. But now, tonight we're going to be under why do I sin? But because our sin, we sin because our old nature draws us into sin because of our flesh. James chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 says, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But then he says there in verse 15, it says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And we know what Romans 6:23 says. It says, for wages of sin is death, but gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have nothing to expect but death. Adam went in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, Eve was deceived, and then Adam decided he was going to take up the fruit as well. That's when sin entered, and therefore, because of Adam, we have a sin nature. Psalm 51 and verse 5 says, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and behold, my mother did conceive. Let me go there. And sin did my mother conceive me. That's exactly what I was after. And I've used that verse many times. And 55, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So therefore, we know we have a sin nature. But here, he's talking about when we're tempted. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. And what he's talking about here is there's two different types or two different ways we're tempted. And it says it's temptation, but sometimes when temptation comes along, and it's usually Satan trying to draw us away to sin, but God never tempts us to sin. When God tempts us or tests us otherwise, it's to test us, test our where we're at, test our faith, and to see how we react to whatever we're going through. So there's two different aspects there. So why do I sin? I sin because our old nature draws us into sin. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7 and look at where Paul was talking about the two natures after being saved. This is one of my favorite passages. It starts in verse 15. It says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. And he says there in verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So he's saying when we get saved, we start having a great struggle going on, and there's the flesh is fighting with our spirit, and what we feed most is what's gonna reign. And when we don't spend enough time with God, then therefore our flesh is gonna reign. But if we spend enough time, as Paul says, I die daily, you die into self desire, die into his self, then we can flourish and yield our lives to God and be used of him, because we don't allow our flesh to override that. So we sin because our old nature draws us into sin. And James talks about if we're tempted, we're not tempted of God to sin, but it's Satan. So we look at two different aspects of temptation here. And a good example, as we did see in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to turn there. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, is solicitation to evil. And this is Satan, or it talks about the serpent, who is Satan, or he's Satan's indwelling him. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. At that point, I do believe that Satan knew he had her. He knew that because she had misquoted what was said. And then the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So therefore, it was a solicitation. And just like as there's so well on our phones and on the internet of the little cookies you get, that they find out what you're looking up and they start bombing you with these things. And they try to keep it coming because they want to get a sale, or they want to sell you something or do something. And that's exactly what Satan does, is he continues to send temptations our way, allows things to go through our life, and God allows it because he wants to see how we're going to react to it. But he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted of that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. See, God allows temptation in our lives, even when Satan tempts us. We see that with Job, when Satan was trying to get him to sin. But he says, God is faithful. He always makes a way of escape. And we know that through the life of Joseph back in Genesis. When he was tempted, Potiphar's wife tempted him to lay with her, and he fled like he was supposed to. Why? Because his relationship between him and God meant more than to do. He says, how in the world can I sin against God? And that's exactly what we do. So he says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So when he allows that temptation to come our way, he always gives us a way of escape. And that's the blessing of it. He said, God is faithful. But if we fail to take that way of escape, then it's not God's fault, it's ours. We chose not to take that direction. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verses 3 and 4. It says, for if he that cometh, but I fear lest it by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. And then we go, and then of course I have James 1:14 where it talks about temptation. So it's a solicitation to evil. And usually, always, God never tempts us to sin. He tests us. He allows trials and tribulations in our lives, but he never tests us to sin. Satan does that. But then on the other side of that, we go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. This is a very good example of God testing Abraham. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1. It says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." So when the word here is tempt, it means test. Because God, again, does not tempt us to sin. But then he says there in verse 2, he says, "And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." I find that fascinating when I read that, because the simple fact is, before he ever gets up there, before he ever does anything, he says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So he knew, again, Abraham walked with God long enough, he knew that God was going to be faithful and provide a lamb, provide a sacrifice, an innocent sacrifice. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake of Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story. God provided a ram in the thicket where it was without blemish. And Abraham had his sacrifice. And again, that sacrifice was pointing to Christ, what he was going to do one day for us. And then we see, not only in Genesis 22, but Luke 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 28. We're going to back up a few verses, starting in verse 25. "It said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that is doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you as a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table, my kingdom, and sit at my thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So we've talked about temptations here, again, referring to the times of testing. And we can go back to the point in Matthew chapter 4 where Christ is being tested, but tempted to sin, because Satan's trying to get him to sin. Because if he can get Christ to sin, then he would no longer be a sinless sacrifice to offer for the sins of the world. But of course, he didn't fail that test. He passed that test. And so it proved that he was God in the flesh. He proved that he was there to be the Lamb of the Lamb without blemish. And then we see there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, this is referring to the solicitation to evil. But it's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. This is the Lord's Prayer. It says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So we see here, this is us asking God to keep us from evil, to keep us from temptation. And of course, he is, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he's always found faithful. He always gives us a way of escape. But then we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. And we can back up to a couple verses. To verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness from manifold temptations." And this is referring to testings. It's referring to us being tested. We go through, and then I believe it's James to count it all joy when we are going through diverse temptations. He says, count it all joy. So we see here, you sin because your old nature draws you into sin. And then we looked at the two facets. There is differences in the word temptation in the scriptures if we just got to look at and look at the context. One is a solicitation to evil, which is Satan is behind it, trying to get us to sin, trying to get us to fall, try to get us to be unusable to God, because he cannot take us to hell with him. He cannot take our souls to hell with him, so therefore he's going to try to get us to discredit us. And as we know that in the world that Satan is trying to discredit Christians, and he's doing a very good job of it amongst those. That's why it's so important for us to stay in the scriptures. It's so important for us to meet. It says not to forsake our assemblies ourselves together. We need each other more so now than ever. And so it's a blessing to have Pastor Hoover here tonight.
Well, thank you.
And it's even more of a blessing to have your wife with us. So,